Oh, yeah.
Here we come, sports fans. Another installment of the Bart and Balmy Show. We're doing the thing, Joseph. We finally got this show off the ground. We got a full disclosure comment. It's 4:16 Pacific Standard Time.
Wake up!
The Celtics already have the Knicks on the ground, punching them in the nose. Bah, 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 bah. Celtics are going to bounce those guys in four. Both you and I have them going in five, Joey, and it doesn't look like the Knicks are going to do a damn thing, son.
It's really crazy that the Knicks are actually playing as well as they are with what they have going against them. One, I mean, we talked about it. They're really not a complete team after that trade. I mean, yeah, they got Melo, and really you can't really argue that he is the top five player in the league, but they're not a better team, whereas Denver is a better team. But, you know, having Stoudemire and Billups going down to injury, they're just not the same team. I mean, you know, you look at that team, and who else do they have that's going to take over and score points for you? So I feel pretty bad for them, man. I mean, I was hoping to see a little bit of a better series. They took, you know, Boston to the wire in both those first games. And I still think they'll squeak out one here in New York, but, you know, it's not looking good for them, especially with their star players going down.
Yeah, the Knicks in Miami, that might have been a real series. Boston, New York, this is a bloodbath. It's dusting for. But you know what's awesome about this time of year is, hey, we don't even need to intro a show. All we do is this, player. It's playoff time, everybody. It's playoff time, everybody. Don't need a whole lot to get fired up. The whole nation's fired up. The Lakers looking a little bit vulnerable. The Hornets dug into them, and guess what? Bah! Came right back, doused them in the face, said, hey, no soup for you guys. You guys do not match up. You guys don't belong on the same stage as the Lake Show. We evened it up, Joe, 1-1. Both you and I had, we called sweeps. We'll eat a little bit of crow there, but hey, Lake Show looking good. Back on track, son.
You know, they're looking good, but they're not looking that great, man. Chris Paul is making the Lakers look old, like bad old. And, I mean, I'm hoping that Blake's going to get better because I feel that Blake could definitely disrupt Chris Paul a little bit. It was nice seeing Kobe man up and take Paul there in that last game in a lot of defensive series. And in reality, Chris Paul was blowing past Kobe, but at least the guys behind Kobe were ready for it. So I do think that the main story of these first two games has got to be Pau Gasol. And where is he? I don't know if he's on Spanish time and we're on L.A. time or what's going on, man, but it's pretty bad when Marc Gasol's outplaying Pau Gasol, you know, in the playoffs. So I'm really hoping Pau can bring it back, man, because he's, you know, definitely my second favorite Laker. I love the guy. I like going pow, 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 pow when he does good things, but when he does bad things, it's like, oh, Pau, you know? So hopefully he won't go 2 for 25, like whatever the hell he's gone these first two games, man. That's been pretty rough city. If it wasn't for those free throws, I think I could have scored as many points as him. You know, it's rough, man. I'd like to see him come out in this next game. They need to establish dominance with him. Watching Landry push him around is kind of a joke. I'd like to see Pau get, you know, 15, 20 points, 10 boards, and get back on track. The great thing is, though, and I know you want to talk Pau, but the great thing is something else you get to talk about, is the fact that the rest of the Lakers are picking up their game. Seeing Artest, seeing Odom, you know, pick up the game and basically, you know, and Bynum too, kind of carry Pau. And even when Kobe was shooting bad, those guys were doing really well. So it's good to see the rest of the Lakers stepping up, because if they didn't, technically we'd be 0-2 right now going into New Orleans. Pretty hostile environment down there. With or without David West, you know, we're in a bad place if we're down 0-2. So being down 1-1, at least it's manageable, you know?
Yeah, I love the way you just basically nutshelled yourself. Joe Scott goes from pow, 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 pow to oh, pow in a matter of minutes. And hey, I don't blame you. After that game one performance, man, I'm a big defender of Pau. You know that off the air. We kind of go back and forth. I had no defense for the guy. I want to bring up the point, though, that he is a big man. You got to feed big men. You got to get him going. Derek Fisher, you brought him up, and I'll get to him in a minute. He's been absolutely terrible. Actually, let's just get to him right now. I got a new nickname for Fisher. He's our boy. He's a made man in Lakerland, so this is out of love. But Derek Fisher's new nickname is the turnstile, okay? If you run at the turnstile too hard, the turnstile will bite back, just like Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher will take a charge if you come at him too hard, if he sees you coming, etc. But if you just walk up to the turnstile and do your thing, you'll get by him. And Derek Fisher cannot hang with Chris Paul. But you know what? We've known that for years. We've known that Fisher has problems with the speedy guards. My problem isn't with Fisher. My problem is with Phil. My problem is with scheme. I want Luke Walton out there on him. I want Kobe on him more. Kobe got exposed. I don't want Kobe on him in the open court. We all saw Chris Paul blow by Kobe on the open floor, get to that three-point line right before, I think it was the end of the third quarter, popped a gorgeous tray to keep them close. But yeah, it's scheme. We know Chris Paul can blow by anybody on our lineup except for probably Blake. And that's a scheme thing to me. But let's get back to this Powell thing, bros. If big men have to be fed, Fisher's not getting that done. Kobe's not getting that done. Bottom line, the guards are not feeding the big dogs, and it's showing, and it's got us a little worried, Joseph.
So are you officially calling D Fish now T Fish for Turnstile Fisher? Is that what we
big time
now? And it's T Fish.
It's all out of love, but he's a turnstile, man. People walk by.
Dude, point four, baby. That's all I got to say about that. Point four.
He's a main man. He's a main man. I won't stop loving him, but damn.
He's a main man, but you're right, dude. I think I could blow past D-Fish, and I am terrible at basketball. You're right, dude. It's not that they're not feeding Powell. They're feeding Powell. I watched the game intensely. Mm-hmm. But the problem is Powell goes up and tries to get position. Then they give him a pass. Powell jumps in the air, and while he's in the air, Landry or whoever's guarding him is pushing him 4 feet forward, okay? So he'll start 5 feet from the basket, and then once he gets the ball in his hands, he's like 9 feet from the basket, 10 feet from the basket. So the problem is, it's not them not giving him the ball. I think it's, and they've said it before about Powell, about him being weak and him being kind of soft, and I think that's really what it is. He needs to grow a pair, be like, I am the Spanish conquistador. Give me my place on the court. You're not going to push me around. If you do, I'm going to elbow you in the eye, and that's what needs to happen. Right now, people are just manhandling him down low, and realistically, the big men of New Orleans isn't our worst fear in this playoffs. I mean, you look at the next couple rounds, we're going to be seeing some big men that can really throw their bodies around. So Powell's got to pull it out now and be like, you know what? I'm tired of getting pushed around. I'm Powell Gasol, damn it, and I'm going to hold my ground. And you're right. I do think that they could feed him a little more, but in reality, when they're feeding him, he's not in a good position. I think, you know, I watched him in the last game. He's catching the ball, you know, at the free throw line, trying to dribble and do whatnot. He needs to pass the ball back out, get back down low, establish his position down low, hold it, get the ball, and then do what Powell does. Hook shot, jump over him, fade away, whatever Powell needs to do. But too many of his shots were jump shots. Too many of his shots were fadeaway jump shots. He's not Kobe, and he needs to get down lower. And unless he does that, I don't see them going very far in the playoffs, man. We need Powell to be dominant, and he's not right now, and he needs to turn that around.
It's true. If our bigs don't play well, we're not going to win. It gets to a point in the playoffs where Kobe Bryant cannot carry you through all by himself. I don't care if he scores 30. I don't care if he goes for 40. I don't care if he goes for 81. If teams force the Lakers to only be Kobe, we will lose. Now, Powell showed some glimpses. For those of you living in a cave, the game's at 6:30 tonight, Pacific Standard Time. It's the only game that matters in town. I think it's the only game that matters in the nation. Everybody's got their eyes on this one tonight. Everybody's wondering what the Lakers are going to do. And I got to be honest, I think Powell's going to come out and have a game. I think he's going to carry over what he had at the end of game two. He went at Gray, finally, took the ball strong to the hoop, got a foul. Gray fouled him on purpose. It wasn't flagrant, fouled him on purpose. He was a little bit PO'd that Powell came at him like that. He's like, wait a minute, I've been pushing this guy around for, you know, 1.5 games. What the hell was that? Powell's coming after this guy. We're coming after this team. We're finishing them. We both predicted sweep. Are we altering our choice, Joseph? Are we going Lakers in five, or are these guys going to give us hell one more time?
I, I'd like to say Lakers in five, but watching those first two games, bro, I was at game one, and it was bad, dude. It was rough to watch. I'm going to say Lakers in six. I think that we're going to have another hiccup, and I'm hoping that we learn from these hiccups. I'd like for us to win tonight so we're not, you know, back against the wall and all the pundits all over ESPN are going to be saying how we're going to get knocked out of the playoffs. So I'd like for us, you know, obviously I'd love to see us win in five. I think it's going to take six. I think we are going to have another hiccup through this series. But, plain and simple, you look at Aaron Gray, perfect example, okay? Aaron Gray was a great college player. He has potential to be a great big man in this league because there's not a lot of them, okay? Look at the size of Aaron Gray versus the size of Powell. Aaron Gray's, I don't know their weight or anything, but he's got to have at least 50 pounds on this guy, okay? Muscle, fat, whatever you want to call it, it's weight. So Powell, he is a finesse player. He's never been known as a power player. And I think that when these power players come up against Powell, he gets dominated. A perfect example, look at the finals a couple of years ago when he was playing against Perkins. Powell couldn't hang. So I really hope that Powell takes some weight gainer, goes to the gym, does something, because he needs to put a little bit more meat on his bones, I think, in the offseason. I don't know why he hasn't, but I really do feel he's got to bulk up a bit because he's really getting manhandled down low, and it's showing.
Well, I just got to say it. I got Lakers in five. Joe Scott was at game one. He had a bad feeling about it. There was a guy who wasn't in game one, Steve Blake. He's back now. I think one of the worst things that could have happened for New Orleans was beating us as handily as they did in game one. I think they walked off the court in game one going, not only can we beat these guys again, I think we can win this series, and I don't think this team is that good. I think they performed so well and we were so horrible, they had to be thinking that when they got off the court. We can blow this old team off the court. And guess what? Blake comes back, the Lakers focus up, hone in. The Hornets were never really in that game. They kept it close. Chris Paul splashing that three at the end of the third was pretty damn impressive, and he was doing the thing. But they were never really in this game. I don't think they're in this series. I think we turn it up a notch. I think Blake gets it done. Fisher will figure something out to just at least keep the guy away from the bucket. If Chris Paul is going to drain threes, drain twos all day long, more power to him. I mean, we really don't have an answer for the guy overall. I just think keeping guys like Gray from blowing up is the key, and I think we will do that. I think Powell's manhood has been challenged. And hey, the guy conserves energy in the regular season. He's not a big bruising big guy. He doesn't pretend to be a big bruising big guy. And I think he goes the opposite way with it. He conserves energy. He kind of lets guys take runs at him, maybe more than he should. But come playoff time, Powell gets it done. The Lakers will get it done. I got us romping in five. Joe Scott's amended choice is LA in six. Joe, take it where you want to go, player. We got a bunch of awesome series. Which one do you really want to talk about?
I mean, I think this Portland series is pretty intense, man. I mean,
unbelievable.
I really do think that Portland should have stole one of those games in Dallas. They obviously came out and won last night.
Man, Joe, did Jason Kidd hear me when I was knocking him before the series started, saying that the guy cannot buy a three? I think he went 8-for-12 in game one. He rocked the scene in game two. He's the only reason to me that Dallas is even in this series, Joseph. I can't believe his performances.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing really well. And obviously, I mean, you see, I don't know how many alley-oops Portland's been getting, man, but I feel like every time I'm watching the games, it's alley-oop, alley-oop, alley-oop. So, I mean, definitely this is exactly what we talked about with Portland, man. They're young, they're athletic. I'm really glad we didn't have to see him in the first round because we'd be talking about a whole other series with the Lakers. So, I do think Portland still has a chance in this thing. We called Portland in six. Depending on what happens in this next game, I think that this is definitely the most intriguing series. Another one that, you know, when you look at the East, there really isn't too much intrigue. You know, we talked about Boston and New York in the beginning and how New York really could have stole one or two there in Boston. You know, so I don't think Boston's going to lose that series. I mean, we're pretty much locked in at Boston in five. That might end up being a sweep. Orlando, again, you know, they lost the first game to Atlanta, but I think that they kind of righted the ship on that. So, you know, Orlando, I think, will win it, you know, in a couple there. But obviously Chicago's looking to romp and Miami's looking to romp. So, realistically, the West is really where the intrigue is in this first round of playoffs. OKC is looking pretty good. I don't think they're going to have too much trouble with Denver, but Denver obviously plays a lot better at home. And you look at these teams now, San Antonio, I think they have their hands full. Out of anybody in the first round besides the Lakers, I think they definitely have their hands full. Ginobili's obviously injured. He's got a bionic arm out there. So I'm really curious to see what's going to happen when they have to go now to Memphis and see if they can pull a win out there.
The Manu performance was unbelievable. The Spurs, all the Spurs fans have to be taking, you know, solace in the fact that the guy is back. As pathetic as they looked in game one, it just looked like Manu was not going to let them lose in game two or any of the games going forward. they got to be on cloud nine with his performance. I was blown away. I hate the Spurs. Joe Scott hates the Spurs. But what Manu did the other night, you know, transcends rivalries. He was big time, and he just was not going to let them lose. I don't know. I don't know what that little recap that you just did was, but let's talk that Portland-Dallas series, man. I think I was blown away by Dallas taking those two games. Portland got back to business, did what I thought they would do. They romped in game three. I mean, it seemed close, 97-92, but gosh, it just felt like the Blazers were playing with, you know, newfound confidence. Obviously, that newfound confidence came to them at home. Are these guys, Joe, going to be able to go to Dallas and win at least a game and prove us right with our prediction?
I think they have a good chance, man. I think they're definitely going to win game four. And I think for them to have to take basically one of the, you know, game five or game seven against Dallas, I think they can do it. I'm not a big Dallas fan. I feel they're kind of soft. I don't really know if they can handle it. Like I said, if they had Caron, obviously it'd be a totally different series. But, you know, plain and simple, man, I don't think Dallas is going to do this, man. I really do think Portland's going to pull it out, even though obviously Dallas got it done those first two games. As far as the recap, bro, who cares about these? I was trying to just get there's really not much to talk about.
Yeah,
if you want to go into
really
detail
isn't.
About how Chicago's going to whoop up on Indiana, I mean, we can. But
well, I want to go into one detail. I got one detail to talk about in this first round, and specifically about this Portland-Dallas series, and it's the format, Joseph. The 2-2-1-1-1 format, I feel like it favors the team on the, you know, the underdog. I mean, all Portland has to do is whoop up on Dallas in this game four. It's all tied up 2-2. Go to Dallas Monday night, backhand them in the face, come back home and finish it. I, as a front runner, the Lakers are always front runners. So your and I opinion is usually from a front runner perspective, got to be honest. I don't like this 2-2-1-1-1 thing, Joseph. I think it's key to Portland blowing Dallas off the map. I don't know. Talk about what you think about the 2-2-1-1-1 format.
I completely disagree with you. I think the 2-2-1-1-1 is better than the 2-3-2, and reason being is if you're 2-3-2, all you got to do is sneak out one of those first two wins, and then you got basically home court advantage for the rest of the playoffs when you look at it for that round, okay? In this, at least, okay, Lakers lost. Right? It's 1-1 going into New Orleans tonight. If Lakers can pull this off tonight, it's right back to the basics. But you're right that if the underdog team does squeak out a win in the first two games, it helps them. But that's why the 2-2-1-1-1 is important, because let's just say, for instance, okay, God forbid, and I don't like talking about this stuff, God forbid the Lakers do lose one of the next two or even both of the next two, then they do come home. They get them home cooking. So at least they have a chance to right the ship. Whereas, let's say this was the 2-3-2 format. They've already lost one. Now they have to win at least one of the next two to even take it back home, or next three to take it back home. So to me, I like this format versus what they do in the finals. I really don't like the finals, man. I think that the way they have that, it really almost favors the underdog team, like you said, because they get the three home games in a row. But, I mean, plain and simple, man, the Lakers and San Antonio have their hands full. When you look at Portland and Dallas on paper and coming into this, I think everyone was kind of guessing back and forth. It was really, when you looked at ESPN, that was really the only series that people called an upset with was the Portland series. But when you look at San Antonio and Lakers, no one thought there was going to be upsets. Everyone thought maybe they might lose a couple games. But realistically, and I hate saying this about the Lakers, but realistically, both those series have a chance of being close. And unless the Lakers pull their head out, this could be a really bad first round for Laker fans. I think San Antonio has a little bit more to worry about because I think Memphis is hungry, they're young, they're ready for this. Even with them not having Rudy Gay, they're going to give San Antonio some fit. And if San Antonio comes out and loses this next two games, they're in a world of hurt. Lakers, I don't think, will lose the next two. But, man, these three series are so intriguing. I honestly thought the Oklahoma City series was going to be a little bit closer. It looks like they're poised to blow that team out. I mean, obviously Denver's going to play well at home, but man, oh man, the San Antonio series and that Portland series to me seem like there could be some serious upsets going on there. Obviously with the Lakers, you and I are praying that they get their stuff right tonight, and we'll know in a couple hours here how they're looking.
Big time. I disagree with you to a certain extent on the Denver-OKC series. Whenever a series is 2-0, it looks like an absolute thrashing. Philly, Miami, you know, obviously Miami got in on them, took it to 3-0. Chicago took it to 3-0. A series really doesn't start until someone loses at home. I think Denver's going to go home. They're going to handle OKC. I really do, especially in this game. They might drop game four. Oklahoma City is that damn good. They'll regroup, but I think Denver will smoke them in this game. It's all about what you do at home. You got to get it done at home. We dropped our game at home, and it's what made that series intriguing. San Antonio dropped a game. It's what made that series intriguing. Let's talk about another intriguing series, Joe. I know you and I have nothing to say about the East, but I want to toot your horn a little bit and need a little bit of crow here. Atlanta versus Orlando. To me, I just saw a beating every which way from Sunday. I thought Orlando would take these guys behind the shed. You didn't see it like that. Lo and behold, 1-1. Atlanta seems to be in this thing, Joseph. Talk about what you're seeing in that series and why you think specifically Atlanta can hang with these guys.
Just because they're shooters, man. I mean, I understand that they're – I think it's Josh Smith is out now. I mean, you know, they're obviously going to have some injuries throughout the playoffs. But, I mean, guys like Crawford and Joe Johnson are just lighting it up. And I told you before, it really comes down to Dwight Howard. And the scary part is Dwight Howard – what do you have, like 47 points and they still lost?
Yep.
And it's I mean, that's ridiculous. So – maybe I was wrong. You know, I said, oh, if they keep Dwight Howard contained, they're going to win it. They let Dwight Howard go bananas, and they still won. So it comes down to guys like Turkoglu, you know, and Richardson. If they're going to be able to keep up with the young guns that Atlanta has, Atlanta going back at home, man, I do feel Orlando's still going to win this series. I think it's going to – I predicted seven. I'm still going with seven on this. I think this is what Atlanta does. Atlanta likes to – give people fits in the playoffs. I would love to see Atlanta shock and upset Orlando. One, because I think it just gives us a better chance of getting Dwight Howard in the future on the Lakers. And two, I really don't like Van Gundy, so whatever I can do to kind of get through under his skin, that's good stuff. But I do think that Orlando and Atlanta, this is going to be a good series. It's probably the best series in the East. Again, I mean, we talked earlier. I mean, it looks like Boston's going to pretty much house you know, New York, especially if Stoudemire is not able to play. I mean, like I said, it's sad. I would have loved to have seen a healthy New York versus a healthy Boston just to see it. But, you know, right now in the East, the only series that has any intrigue is this Atlanta or Orlando series. And right now, I mean, you're right, man. They are definitely playing with them. And Atlanta just looks like a younger, fresher team.
The unbelievable thing to me, Joe, and I really don't have a leg to stand on in this conversation because I really, really, really didn't see this coming from Atlanta. Joe Johnson averaging 18 points. That's it. That means all the other guys are getting it done. Everybody's involved. Everybody's taking it upon themselves. It's what we liked out of Denver. We're not really seeing that. But, man, that team concept, when everybody steps up, when everybody puts forth the effort, a la Memphis over there, things start getting done. On the flip side of that coin, they have no answer for Dwight Howard. They have no answer, and even when they won that game with him going off, I'm sure they didn't feel good about it. There's no chalkboard to go back to. There's no plan B. There's no plan C. When Superman starts bullying you around, that's the way it's going to be. And this guy's going for 23-14. I don't see that shrinking down anytime soon. He's going to continue to dominate on the boards. But man, if Atlanta keeps shooting lights out, it could be lights out for Orlando. I want to talk one more series, Joe, because we would be idiots if we gloss over this one just because the game started. New York, Boston. It's Boston 2-0. The game's already underway, so we're not going to make any predictions and try to go on record here. But is there any way in hell, Joseph, that the Knicks can get into this series?
Not if Stoudemire and Billups aren't right. I mean, plain and simple, they're just not. I mean, they had a chance at the end of that game there. They blew it. You know, you look at that team around Carmelo, and without those other two guys, it's going to be rough. So I know Amari's playing today, but I know that, I mean, he's definitely not right. I mean, back spasms, I can only imagine how painful that is. I think I pulled a muscle in my back one time, and it was excruciating. So I can only imagine what it's like to be spasming me out, especially when you're a big guy like this getting banged around. So I don't think there's a chance. I'd like to see New York maybe take one of these games just to be intriguing for the fans, Madison Square Gardens versus Boston, you know, be good to the league. But I mean, I'd be shocked if they win tonight's game. I don't even know the score of tonight's game. I'm shocked that it's on this early, but you know, I mean, basically plain and simple, man, I do think that New York needs Stoudemire and Billups to be healthy, and they're not. So as far as them getting back into this thing, they may squeak out one win, but that's going to be that. Carmelo's going to have to look towards this offseason. They're going to have to build around him. We said it before on the show that I do think New York in the next couple of years is going to be a top contender in the league, especially if they can go out and get a younger point guard, you know, like a Chris Paul or something like that. I think they're going to be pretty unstoppable down the road. But as of right now, I mean, they traded away too much to get Carmelo. We said it coming into the playoffs. Ever since they did the Carmelo trade, they've kind of been stumbling. You know, losing guys like Felton hurt. I mean, imagine if they had Ray Felton still on the team. I think they'd be doing a lot better. I think they might even have won one of those first two games. So overall, I don't think they have a chance of winning this thing as far as the series, but I definitely think they could steal a game.
Yeah, I completely disagree. I don't think they can take any games in this series. I think Boston's going to run right over them. If Boston brings back Shaq, I think it's idiocy. I think they should rest him. This is a perfect matchup to rest him. And for those of you out there saying, hey, Carmelo's putting forth superhuman effort, what about that? I'm seeing it. It's the end of the first quarter tonight. Celtics up 27-20. Carmelo's got 6 points, 5 boards, 2 assists. I see him doing the damn thing and filling up the stat sheet every night. What I think is the Knicks' problem and why they won't go anywhere is you can't teach brains, okay? And you can't teach hustle. These guys don't hustle. They're not very savvy on the court. And the bottom line is, when you don't have those two things, you're not a champion. And we saw it at the end of that Knicks game. Carmelo had 5 fouls. He couldn't commit that foul. Nobody else knew he didn't have 5 fouls. That's a coaching issue, but we'll gloss over that. Nobody else knew that Carmelo had 5 fouls and was about to foul out and that they had to go chase down the dribbler and foul him. Carmelo fouls out of that game. They dropped that game. It was no big deal. But the bottom line there, Joseph, is you just can't teach brains, son.
That's how Jason would have wanted it.
Serve him up. Let's go.
Party down for Jason.
Oh, yeah. Me and Joe did the damn thing. I know we played this jam before, but I just can't help it. I love it that much. I love SC football. We're not going to stop talking it. The draft is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to drop the little draft show special on you. And I'm definitely hollering at y'all next week.
Get going.
Travel trend, present, best, and beyond. Though you weren't with us too long. That was the most precious thing we could lose. While you were here, the fun was never ending. Not a minute was only beginning.
Thing you can lose. While you were here.